This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day to try to understand what is it that enabled Donald Trump to win the presidency when no one expected it in 2016? And what is it that caused him to fall short in 2020? One of the best analyses I've read so far about what exactly is behind, at the very heart of the Trump phenomenon, and some of the great loyalty that he has inspired from many, many conservatives, if not most conservatives, all across the country. It's a piece in Reason magazine, and yes, it is written from a frankly libertarian point of view, I believe, which is close to some of the basic ideals of Reagan Republicans. The piece is entitled Cultural Anxieties, Not Economic Woes Drove the Trump Train. And Stephanie Slade, who is managing editor at Reason Magazine, in 2016, she was selected to the Robert Novak Journalism Fellowship and was named a finalist for the Bastiat Prize for Journalism. Stephanie, thank you for the piece. I benefited from it. I think the listeners will as well. And thanks for joining us on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It's a great pleasure. You write toward the very beginning, in reality, to the extent that the Trump coalition was unified and energized by anything, survey data suggest that it was cultural issues, not economic ones. If there's one thing the post-liberal conservatives can agree on, it's that 2016 should have been a wake-up call for the Republican Party. When you say cultural issues, what are we talking about here that actually does seem to reunite the Trump coalition?
The easiest way to think of cultural issues is as a combination of two buckets. One would be religious liberty issues and a sense that especially, you know, Christianity is under attack in this country. And the other is more of like a political correctness run amok. The idea that there are powerful cultural forces in big tech and the media and academia who are essentially trying to shove an ideology of identity politics down Americans' throats against their will, and they don't like that. They're recoiling against that. I think that these two things could be summed up together by saying a lot of Americans felt like people who look like me and believe what I believe are under attack. We're being targeted and branded as enemies, and they've had enough. They had enough. They were looking to fight back in some way.
Well, I know what you're arguing against here is what has been described as a nationalist perspective that says that we need lots of government spending that we're certainly getting. President Trump at the very end of his term thought that $600 per person wasn't enough. He wanted it to go up to $2,000 per family, which is, of course, where Joe Biden left it. What you're saying is that in surveys of Trump voters, the people who voted loyally for Trump in 2020, who were mostly the same people who voted for him in 2016, that most of those people didn't really support that idea of vigorous government spending, of more government activism, which seemed to be part of the Trump formula. How do we know that?
That's exactly right. There's certainly a subset of Trump supporters who do support these things. But if you look at survey data from Gallup, from Pew Research Center, and even just this past January, there was a survey done by the Ethics and Public Policy Center, just of people who supported Donald Trump in 2020. If you look at this survey data, what you find is that overwhelmingly Republicans and conservatives and Trump supporters say things like, you know, government is not the solution, it's the problem. And there's too much regulation, not enough regulation of business. And foreign trade is good for America. We do not think that we need to reduce foreign trade or slap tariffs on things. So these are all sort of, these are all data points that suggest that it was actually not, at least, at the very least, it was not an overwhelming consensus in favor of these, this economic nationalism, but rather the surveys show overwhelming consensus when it comes to cultural issues. I mean, 89%, 90%, 91%, 92% of Trump supporters saying, we feel like Christianity is under attack in America. We are troubled by the fact that the mainstream media seems practically to be an organ of the Democratic Party. You know, things like this, the cultural issues, the sense of feeling under siege and wanting, you know, wanting somebody who will recognize that and fight back.
Well, you make the case, and I think it's a solid case, that a lot of people have the sense that people on the left look down on them, that they see the idea that white people, particularly white working class people, should feel guilty, should be made to pay money for reparations and for other things, basically show disrespect for the 47% of Americans, that's the most recent Gallup figure, who are members of churches and synagogues. And what is it that the Republican Party should do going forward to maintain that base at the same time that you're broadening the base with people who haven't traditionally been Republicans or conservatives?
Well, there's a movement right now, the sort of common good conservatism or nationalist conservatism, that's all about regulation of industry, subsidies, tariffs, that sort of thing. I think this is the wrong, you know, this is the wrong solution. They're building an agenda on a foundation of sand, which is the mistaken, I think, belief that these Trump voters were motivated by a rejection of free markets and free trade. The data don't suggest that that's true. Instead, I think we need to return to defending our sort of basic civil liberties, First Amendment rights that in many cases have been under attack. There really have been assaults on religious liberty during the Obama years, for example, and even in the last 4 years in at the sort of state and local level, these attempts to make Catholic nuns pay for birth control, these attempts to make a Christian baker make it, you know, participate in the celebration of a gay wedding. These are things that we can use the institutions at our disposal, the court system, the First Amendment, the Constitution, to fight back against, and actually have been quite successful at doing that. You know, the Hobby Lobby Supreme Court case and other cases like that, they sided with the nuns. They sided with the bakers. They're not siding with these forces that are trying to impose their ideology on Americans, actually, but taking our focus away from defending these institutions, these civil society and legal institutions that have been a bulwark against these attacks, taking attention away from that and putting them into reforming our economy, that this just seems like, you know, it's going to lead to bad outcomes, and it's also not going to speak to the true concerns of the voters.
I was thinking about something reading your piece, and the piece, again, is called Cultural Anxieties, Not Economic Woes, Drove the Trump Train. And you mentioned the issue of immigration, where, of course, Trump was very different from immediate previous Republican nominees for president. But one of the things that I thought of is that you could even argue, couldn't you, that a lot of the opposition to unrestricted immigration, to people entering the country illegally, is cultural more than economic. In other words, it's not the sense that somebody who's running across the Rio Grande is going to take my job. It's the idea that law and order break down, that American culture and the traditional American nationalism that a lot of us value, the sense of America being a special nation with a special mission, that will be all undermined. Do you think there might be something to that?
I do, and it's a little bit hard to say for sure. I try to base this analysis on research, and there isn't a ton of research to say definitively that people who are concerned about immigration are more focused on the cultural component than the economic component. But I think that's plausible for sure. I mean, ultimately, what I think the important takeaway here is, if we are of the belief that the American founding was a special event and that the American founding principles are worth preserving, that the idea of America and the American creed are things worth fighting for, and if we are concerned that they are under assault, you know, from these sort of radical forces on on the left. But we have to be very
careful.
And
we have
not
to rally to their defense. And you can do that. Go to our website and click on the article by Stephanie Slade. Thanks for your conversation. Big questions. Are religion and science constantly, inevitably at war? Can science provide evidence for God? New York Times bestselling author Stephen Meyer, he's a philosopher of science. He has written The Return of the God Hypothesis, three scientific discoveries that revealed the mind behind the universe. There's a special offer for MedVed listeners. Free excerpt from the book, free digital booklet on intelligent design, a discount on Dr. Meyer's online course, an invitation to an exclusive online meeting with Dr. Stephen Meyer. And amazingly, this new book, The Return of the God Hypothesis, has just been endorsed by a Nobel Prize winner in physics, Dr. Brian Josephson, and many other prominent scientists. You can read about it, find out all about it, when you go to discovery.org/MedVed for a special offer you don't want to miss. discovery.org/MedVed. Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds. Social media and trading platforms then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. AmFed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at AmFed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694, or visit AmericanFederal.com.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store, or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
And on the Michael Medved Show, when Stephanie Slade says that it's cultural issues that truly inspire the deepest passion among conservatives, I believe that's true. She doesn't refer to it in our article. But we went through a summer of violence and tearing down American statues. That's still going forward, is destroying American icons, assaulting American culture. And generally, I think most people, including moderates and even a big chunk of American liberals, hate the idea of attempts to dismantle statues of Abraham Lincoln and, yes, of George Washington and of the people who founded this great country for which we're all grateful. One of the things that is very striking about some of the commentary by people who are talking about anti-Asian prejudice is even while you acknowledge that, yes, we did the Chinese Exclusion Act in 1882 and it was shameful, and yes, Japanese were interned in 1942 and it was shameful, and yes, there is a history of anti-Asian prejudice, this has still been an incredibly good country for the people who came here from Asia and from Europe, and the people who were brought here against their will from Africa. This has been a blessing, this country. And most people believe that and know it to be true, which is why in some of the dramatic speeches, we were just talking about this guy, Lee Wong, who took off his shirt to show his scars. He got 20 years serving in the U.S. Army to show how patriotic he was, or James Ho, the judge of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, who gave just a brilliant speech last week to the House Judiciary Committee, which really needed to hear it. All of that goes along with the idea that America is a special place, a great country with a great mission that deserves gratitude more than grievance. And that's why I think there's a particularly angry response, and righteously angry response, at the idea of trying to dismantle American heroes, icons, and to create new ones. And that's the subject of this Golden Turkey Award nomination.
Bigger than the Academy Awards.
First and foremost, I'd like to thank God.
Groovier than the Grammys.
I would like to thank my wonderful agent.
And more powerful than the People's Choice.
I would like to share this with every single senator.
Now, it's time for another Golden Turkey Award nomination.
Woo-hoo! Thank you so much!
This goes to the University of Arkansas. Now, Arkansas is one of the most conservative states in the country. It's a state that is overwhelmingly Republican, and obviously the days of Bill Clinton leading the state of Arkansas are in the rearview mirror, which I think most Arkansans think is kind of a good thing. But there is this headline from Fayetteville, which is where the University of Arkansas, the Razorbacks, are located. Headline, University of Arkansas pays communist speaker over $200 per minute.
Oh, groovy, smashing, yay capitalism!
Okay, see, this would be obnoxious enough if it were an Ivy League school, if it were a private institution, and yes, even those private institutions, the Yales and the Harvards and the Browns and the Princetons and the Dartmouths, they all get some government money, but they are private institutions. But this University of Arkansas is supported by state taxes. The tuition is shockingly low compared to private universities. 23,000 students. The leading majors at the University of Arkansas, undergraduate, are business and engineering, not basket weaving or ethnic studies or feminist studies or anything of the kind. That's why this is a little bit surprising. Angela Davis, remember her? She was twice the nominee for vice president of the U.S. Communist Party. She is a lifelong communist, and still is. She was paid $20,000 to speak in an event at the University of Arkansas. That comes down to about $220 per minute. Okay, think about that for a minute. You'll pardon me. $220 per minute to speak for Angela Davis? Angela Davis, a self-proclaimed communist, was paid $20,000 by University of Arkansas to speak for 90 minutes, 20 of to 30 minutes of which she was to take questions. Under the Freedom of Information Act, campus reform obtained an agreement between the university and Davis showing that $20,000 was paid to Davis for the event last month. The $20,000 for Davis came directly from student tuition through the student activities fee, according to the public information officer at the University of Arkansas. Davis was hosted by the Distinguished Lectures Committee. The committee is led by students and aims to bring dynamic and pertinent speakers to bring to the University of Arkansas campus. Okay, this is outrageous. Can you imagine if they took an American Nazi to speak for $20,000? I'm not saying, by the way, that Angela Davis should be blocked from speaking if she wants to address some communist group at University of Arkansas. First of all, I'm not sure there is a communist group. There might be. But sure, more power to her. But to ask students who are all paying tuition and paying into these student fees to support this kind of thing, it's one of those crazy things about the left. Is the left acknowledges, as every decent human being does, that the Nazis were evil. So were the communists. So are the communists. A communism is an evil idea. And to treat it as, oh, well, this is just that Angela Davis's work is so important. Can you tell me why? I know she's African American. Right? We got it. But other than that, and her two failed campaigns, and her campaigns, it's not like she attracted a huge surge of support. She ran with the old veteran communist, Gus Hall, in 1980 and 1984. President Reagan won those elections, and he won those elections in what declared the Soviet Union the evil empire. You know, she went to the Soviet Union repeatedly. She won the Lenin Peace Prize. Yes, named after Vladimir Ilyich Lenin, and she went there to accept it. Now, when you are a communist, you want to see the destruction of the United States of America and of our system of government and of all our values. And to give someone like this that kind of a speaker's fee, it just seems to me pretty shocking, especially at the University of Arkansas. There's something else shocking. An arrest of a wanted mafia fugitive. Fascinating story coming up.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck. Or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden is unveiling his $2.3 trillion infrastructure plan in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Texas Republican Congressman Mike McCaul is no fan of the $2.3 trillion bill.
look, the economy was doing pretty well a year ago until the coronavirus hit.
Yeah.
Thank goodness now we have the vaccines. We'll get the economy back on track by getting our country. There is a problem from infusing way too much cash into a system that right now may have difficulty absorbing it.
That audio, courtesy of Fox News, the hot real estate market may be showing some early signs of cooling off. Pending home sales dropping 10.6% in February from its level of the previous month. Realtors saying supply remains very low for affordable homes, while it's not as bad for high-end properties. This is USA Radio News.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
One of the minor themes of this show that I've mentioned from time to time has been really questioning the current vogue for tattoos. And yes, I know. There are many listeners out there who are proud of your tattoos. You enjoy the process. You're delighted with them. But sometimes tattoos can cause problems. For instance, a fugitive Italian gangster's urge to show off his cooking skills landed him in jail after 7 years successfully on the run. Italian police tracked down Mark Farron Claude Biart, who's 53, through the culinary videos he had uploaded to YouTube. They tracked him down even though he carefully hid his face and seemed to disguise his voice. But he failed to disguise his body tattoos, which included his hands. And the alleged member of the 'Ndrangheta crime gang was arrested in the Dominican Republic last week, and he's been extradited back to Italy. They're having a big trial. They're having 900 witnesses. It's the biggest mafia trial in decades, opening in Italy, and good for them. Biart had reportedly been leading a quiet life, I'm sure, in the town of Boca Chica, police said in a statement. He had been on the run since 2014 when he was wanted by police for allegedly trafficking cocaine into the Netherlands on behalf of the Caciola clan of the 'Ndrangheta mafia. And Angeta is considered one of the world's most powerful and dangerous organized crime groups because it controls most of the cocaine entering Europe. It's based in Calabria, the region that forms the tip of Italy's boot. In any event, he and his wife bothly grabbed. And that, it seems to me, is unquestionably good news. It's also good news whenever you see some signs of mainstream media actually making some efforts to do some honest reporting. And John Carl of ABC TV actually was on The View, and he said some things about the situation right now on our southern border that the ladies on The View, or at least the great majority of them, I am sure did not want to hear. This is clip two.
It's a mess. It's been a mess for a long time. It wasn't just Donald Trump's policies that created a crisis on the border. I remember covering it in the early days of the Obama administration. We had something very similar unfolding. I think one thing that's really important to point out, though, is the significant difference here between what we are seeing now with children on the border and what we saw under the Trump administration. What we saw happening under the Trump administration is children being separated from their guardians, from their parents, from the adults that they came over with. Now what we're seeing is a surge of unaccompanied minors. These are children that are coming up on their own. They're not being separated by the U.S. government. But it's a mess. And, you know, that Biden signaled very clearly that he was going to treat people coming over the border illegally more humanely. And the downside of that very, you know, understandable policy is that it encourages more people to say that they'll come up because they're going to be treated more humanely.
Look, he's right about this, of course, and it's something that, frankly, the Biden administration is going to have to acknowledge, or they're not going to succeed at all in what they say is their desire, and it's an appropriate desire, to reform our whole immigration system, which it makes no sense. It doesn't operate well. And when I say it makes no sense and it doesn't operate well, there's a new news from the Gallup poll. And they did a major poll of the public in Latin America and the Caribbean. And there are 33 countries in Latin America and the Caribbean. There are 450 million adults in the region. Gallup asked them if they would like to move to another country permanently, if they had the chance to do so. How many people in all of Latin America and all of the Caribbean said, yeah, we would like to go somewhere else, we don't like living here anymore? 27%. And when Trump used a derogatory term, which I can't say on the air, of course, to refer to some countries, he wasn't really talking about Latin America and the Caribbean. He was talking about, well, Africa, primarily. And countries, I mean, right now, if you look at what's going on in Mozambique with the Islamic State making a comeback, and it's horrible and it deserves attention. But, okay, you're talking about even countries like Argentina and Brazil and Chile and Jamaica and all of the countries in the Latin American Caribbean region. 27% said yes. That means that roughly 120 million would like to migrate somewhere. Okay, then Gallup asked that 120 million or people representing them, okay, you'd like to move somewhere permanently. Where'd you like to go? Of those who do want to leave their country permanently, 35%, or 42 million, said they want to go to the United States. Okay. Clearly, the United States is the most popular destination. Canada is also very popular. But, again, you're talking about 42 million people who were represented in this Gallup poll of the region would like to come to the United States. Now, I don't care how pro-immigration you are, we cannot take all 42 million, right? And By the way, no matter how anti-immigration you are, I haven't heard anybody really who says we should cut off immigration altogether. There are too many immigrants who do wonderful things for our country. I mean, for instance, setting up small businesses, setting up some of those restaurants that have kept alive very heroically. The one restaurant that's been very important to us, I'll mention the name. It's a great place called the Teapot Restaurant. It is kosher and it's vegan. And it's run by people who are clearly immigrants to the United States from China. It's kind of an Asian fusion place. It's delicious. But it's great. Okay. So if somewhere you want somewhere between taking all 42 million, can't do it, and taking nobody, then you have to have a basis for taking immigrants into the country. And the only basis that makes any sense at all is a sensible theme of immigration where you have some sympathy for people who are looking for asylum, but then you also talk about the people who are going to benefit the country most by coming here and have the best chance for benefiting the country. And as we were talking about before with the editor from Reason, Stephanie Slade, the cultural component of the immigration issue has to do not with immigration, but Americanization. And this needs much more conversation in this country. It's very tough to say, okay, I'm going to run this country down and talk about how guilty we are and how ever since 1619, from the very beginning, America has been a racist, oppressive, horrible country, and then say, oh yeah, now we're going to bring a whole bunch of new immigrants in. Immigrants work if they get Americanized and work for goals that have always been part of the aim of this country, rule of law and equal justice under the law. We will be right back in the Michael Medved Show.
Medved.
In my opinion, he's the most powerful man in the world.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
I've had several knee injuries on my left knee, and so over time, stiffness set in with a great deal of pain. So I went ahead and ordered the starter packet, and after about 2 weeks, I started noticing results, and after they were gone and I reordered, let's say 6 weeks in, my pain was virtually gone, but the big bonus was that the stiffness was also virtually gone, and so therefore my problem with my left hip also went away. I'm very happy I decided to try it and will continue to use it.
You can get a 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 95 cents a day. What a good investment. Nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. You can go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor. That's michaelmedved.com, banner for Relief Factor, or call 833 toll free 654 pain, 833 654 pain. As the nation pivots from the Trump administration to the reality of the Biden administration, Americans seem divided as never before. What does our country even believe in common anymore? One organization that continues to stand for what America has always believed is the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College. This institute stands for the first things, the permanent things, for religious liberty, for freedom of conscience, for family, for limited government, for free markets, for our nation's Judeo-Christian heritage. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com, and you will see insightful, bold opinion pieces from the renowned faculty at Grove City College in Pennsylvania. See Mark Hendrickson's latest on GameStop, Wall Street, and the hedge fund manager. See John Sparks and former Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty on impeachment. And take a look at our friend Paul Kanger's articles and speeches. There are lots of them. You can find all this and much more at the website of the Institute for Faith and Freedom. That's faithandfreedom.com. Again, faithandfreedom.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
On the Michael Medved Show, one of the problems about polarization is that right now in America, people on the hard left believe that conservatives, or basically anybody who's not with them on their left-wing priorities, including moderates, are evil, are just bad, horrible people. And one of the problems on the right is that a lot of people look at what's going on in the world of mainstream media, in the world of the liberal establishment at universities where they're paying $220 a minute to hear from aging communist Angela Davis, who, by the way, her shelf life was kind of over around 1975. I mean, that's a long time ago. Angela Davis used to be heralded for her great beauty and her charm and her charisma. You should hear, actually, some of the... I'd like to get her tape from University of Arkansas and see how well that went for her communist ideology. In any event, people on the right look at the left, and it's not so much that people see evil as they just see insanity, craziness. For instance, this quote of the day, and this is from This is CNN, okay? Quote, now listen to each word and savor each word and consider how unbelievably lunatic this thing is. This is not an opinion column. This is actually broadcast as part of their coverage of the news. This is put forward as fact. It actually deserves 5 Pinocchios. I know, they don't give out 5. But, quote, it is not possible to know a person's gender identity at birth, and there is no consensus criteria for assigning sex at birth. Well, first of all, okay, it should be there is no consensus criterion for assigning sex at birth. One of the criteria for assigning sex at birth is the way your plumbing works. And yes, there are some cases where people are born hermaphroditic or they are born with some kind of anomaly. But in the overwhelming majority of cases, and it's way, way, way above 99%, you're either male or female. It's, yes, it's binary. And later on, you may get the idea that you have been assigned the wrong body, but that's the body you've been assigned. And there's a terrific column about this today by somebody named Margaret Harper McCarthy, who was a professor at the John Paul II Institute. And obviously she's writing from a deeply Catholic point of view. But she says, at stake in the so-called Equality Act, currently before the Senate, is neither women's sports nor bathrooms, at least not ultimately. At stake is the freedom of rational human beings to use a common vocabulary when speaking about what we all can see. Also at stake are the countless vulnerable souls falling prey to the tyrannizing gender identity ideology and the medical atrocities that go with it. That is why religious freedom is also at stake. Religion is the last bastion of sanity. Senate Judiciary Chairman Dick Durbin takes a different view, writes Professor McCarthy. To him, recourse to religion is nothing but a shield behind which to practice bigotry and discrimination freely. His concluding remarks at the committee hearing invoked lynchings, no less. Quote, people who want to blatantly discriminate and use religion as their weapon have gone too far. I might remind us that the KKK were burning the cross, making some distorted connection with a religion. The Equality Act doesn't concern, she writes, such invisible mysteries as the Holy Trinity, for example. That is a matter of belief in the strict sense. Rather, the Equality Act concerns things anyone can see and understand. Infants do not need instruction to know that their mothers are the ones who are nursing them, and their fathers are the ones who are not. Sexual difference is obvious to anyone with eyes to see it. And yes, I am proud to say that our little grandson, David, who was born at the end of January, he definitely knows the difference between mom and dad. Not that he doesn't like dad, he does. But mom has a special capacity that dad does not, and it's not because she chose it. This is just so unbelievable. This point is not lost, writes Professor McCarthy, on opponents of religious freedom. They understand, rightly, that a claim is being made about the way things are everywhere and for everyone. This is why they object. And the tragic irony, she writes, is that society is now awash in beliefs based on nothing but deep-seated feelings and fluid self-identifications. Only these beliefs are by no means private. They demand to be publicly confessed by everyone and in every aspect of common life or else. Why then invoke religious freedom? Because those who believe in the invisible order are now the last custodians of the visible one. This is profound, and it's important. I'll tell you something that is also profound. Is that up until seeing a brand new movie, I would have thought that film is a visual medium that does most of its communication through imagery. But there's a new movie that has abstract imagery, flashes and squiggles on the screen. You never see a face, not a single human being or any resemblance of a human being, but you hear their voices. The new series, it's a 9-part series, is called Calls. Listen.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Lots of the drama in our busy, sometimes isolated, contemporary lives plays out through smartphone connections. And there's a new streaming television series that lets you listen in to a group of troubled strangers who are mysteriously linked to an apocalyptic event. It's called Calls, now streaming on Apple TV+.
Hi, I was wondering if you could come see me today. Is everything okay?
So, how's life? There's things we can't explain.
And you still can't explain them, even if you watch, or I should say listen, to all 9 episodes, where all you see is a busy screen with abstract effects, written lines of dialogue, and intermittent flashes and crashes to heighten the tension. Based closely on an experimental French series, this audacious project speaks its own language, full of uncomfortable, adult, and even terrifying moments. No, it's not family entertainment. 2.5 stars for the intriguing but unsatisfying Calls. And the interesting thing about Calls is it begins with an episode entitled The End, and that's mysterious and apocalyptic. Something terrible happens, and then you don't find out what it is until you've listened through all the other 8 episodes that are provided. The episodes are about 15 minutes each. Does this mean it is a worthwhile investment of your time? Well, it depends on how much time you have, I guess. Speaking of how much time you have, it didn't take long, but Joe Biden just got his first major award. Nobel Prize? No, that was Obama. He got that before he even became president. Biden has won an almost as prestigious award. It is the Four Pinocchios Award for telling a blatant public lie, which he was awarded by the Washington Post, supposed to be a liberal newspaper. What did President Biden say that got him 4 Pinocchios? We will let you know next time. We will also take a look at a controversial city official, deputy mayor, in fact, who demanded that white people should shut up. They should be, quote, asked to keep quiet whenever race issues are discussed, when they are in the presence of people of color. So whether or not you can talk about race depends on the color that you are. We will get to that. And also, how much do you trust the government? That depends almost entirely on another aspect of your personality or philosophy. What is it? We'll tell you. And marijuana made legal in New York? That and more in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.